So today we're talking about deliverance. What fun, hey? Deliverance through the Red Sea. And next week is kind of two-parter. So the sermon, you'll be pleased to know, is a little bit shorter this week. And we're going to sort of watch a cartoon version of it. But it's a two-parter because there's deliverance. But what happens when we get disappointed? So if you wonder, what do I do when I get disappointed? That's next week. This week, we're going to understand about deliverance. And this week, we're covering a lot. We're covering Exodus chapter sort of 12 right through to 15. And in chapter 15, we have the first ever recorded hymn that Moses and the people sang. And I love it because they were on a high, as you can imagine. We've escaped. Our enemies have drowned. Well, I'm not convinced that they should be celebrating that. But in a sense, they do, because justice has been served. Do you know what I mean? Justice has been served. And I find that hard, but you find whenever justice has been served, the people of God celebrate. And they are on a high, and this is what they sing. Remember the first hymn. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and driver he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God. Finally, they're like, oh, I'm not sure whether I want him as my God. It's as our God. But he is my God. I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Your right hand, Lord, was majestic in power. Your right hand, Lord, shattered the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you threw down those who opposed you. Who among the gods is like you, Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders? You stretch out your right hand and the earth swallows your enemies. In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. The Lord reigns forever and ever. Yeah, amen. It's not a bad hymn, is it? I mean, you know, just have a quick look on the screen. What strikes you, what words strike you there about perhaps what you need to be reminded of who the Lord is this morning? So we've got chapters 12, 13, 14, and 15 to look at now in Exodus. However, we've covered 15. Do you remember what I started with? What did I start with? What did I read out? The first hymn. Yeah, so that was Exodus 15. So you've been pleased to know we can tick off Exodus 15. We've done that, all right? Okay, but we've still got 12 to 14 to do. What we discover in today's passage is that the story of God's kingdom and his people is one of deliverance and protection from evil. It's a story of God's presence, his power, and his promises being fulfilled. And God shows time and time again that he will deliver us from evil and he will bring about justice. And we've discovered, haven't we, that justice comes about. The Lord is so patient. I mean, do you remember in Noah, how many years did they have a chance to repent? Hundreds. I mean, it was there one of those like hundreds of years, 125 years in some records. Do you know what I mean? In other words, it's an awfully long time to repent. And if you think about it, we'd have 10 plagues and they'd have ample opportunity to receive God's grace and mercy in the Egyptians. But they kept refusing God's grace and mercy. Like Pharaoh and Egyptians, we find people who do the same today, and they choose to partner with, remember, there's only two sides. There's literally evil, which brings about evil, or we partner with God, which brings about good. And what we see in the story of God's deliverance at the Red Sea and throughout God's story is that deliverance is about freeing people from evil. Yeah, deliverance is about freeing people from evil. It's about freeing people from the past influences of evil on their lives. Yeah, so God's plan for the Israelites and us is to free us to pursue a different life altogether in his kingdom, a different life which involves love, joy, peace, righteousness, and justice. And I love this cloud and fiery pillar. Hopefully you'll remember some of it today because you've seen a nice cartoon of it. But the idea is that God's presence is not just there for the critical moments. He was there day and night. God's presence never leaves us. Yeah, even in the Old Testament, you have the cloud by day and the fire by night, and it's a protective presence. Because as you noticed, as soon as the Egyptians came, the fire and the cloud went back to, you know, protect them, to cover their rear guard. Yeah, and so we know that God's presence is always with us, and His power is a protective power. And lastly, just as an intro, remember this story. You will find it time and time again, whether you're talking about Joseph or Moses. I'll get the right one this time. So, I mean, or Moses, or whether we're talking about Jesus. The idea is that the story is about creation, enslavement, liberation, but there's also renewal. And this week and next week is what liberation looks like, the deliverance from evil and the impact of evil on people's lives. So we're going to talk about deliverance today. And so I don't know whether you've had much teaching on deliverance before, but we're going to look at what does deliverance actually mean. So the deliverance of the people of Israel was more than just a one-time rescue, and it is the same for us. The Israelites required deliverance from the past, the mental traumas that they'd had. They need deliverance from the physical traumas that they'd had and emotional traumas that had affected them from the evil Satan stroke Pharaoh. Yeah? And also from the people who had oppressed them and been downright horrible to them and abused them. And so what did they need deliverance from? They needed deliverance from this oppressive ruler, because living under an oppressive ruler takes its toll on you. Just as if you were living under an abusive boss or a friend or sibling or spouse, it affects you. It's not a one-time, oh, you're away from your abusive spouse, all is well. And, you know, just being a woman in leadership roles, I have come under a number of male abusive bosses. And it was only this week that I realized I still needed some deliverance from past hurts and wounds and lies that I believed. Now, hear me correctly here. This week, Andy sent me his report of me as a newly appointed minister. And you know what I mean? Before I opened it, I was struggling. I dreaded it. And I was like, oh, my goodness. I am in fear of another, and he's not. Let me make this really, really clear. Do you know what I mean? And he's not. But I am in fear of an abusive boss again, and a report written by an abusive boss. I was really struggling. So I got my prayer partner to come and pray with me to heal some wounds and hurts. My classic default is rejection, fear of rejection, and to actually also to set me free from lies I believed about myself and others. Then I opened the report and I had a brilliant discussion with Andy, and it's all okay. Do you know what I mean? And so it's going off to Spurgeon's and going off to Seba. But can you see, even today, I mean, you know, I'm 60 next year, I'm still needing deliverance from evil of the past that has affected me. And actually, I pray now that it's completely gone, and so that the next year when Andy writes the report, I don't have a panic and a struggle with it. Yeah? So living under an oppressive ruler or somebody who's abusive really damages us. And the Israelites had also been living under the constant threat of violence, beatings, rape, and murder. I mean, that's just horrendous, isn't it? To live for so many years, to bring your children up in this atmosphere. And this affects people physically, mentally, and emotionally. And as I said earlier, you know, just taking someone out, I think of the ladies that I spoke with in Nepal. They had been rescued from trafficking, but that didn't mean to say that the impact of the evil that they'd experienced was actually lifted off. They needed deliverance. And so when I took a group of young people and my business partner at that time, the Kingdom Catholics Academy, back to Nepal, I went into a place that my friend was running, which was for vulnerable women. They made jewelry and other things to actually get a living. They'd been rescued from various horrendous situations. And, you know, my friend Glenda, she said, what, you know, come and speak to them. And I was like, what message can I give these women? Because if you think about it, who would want a male god when the only experience of males they've had is really horrendous? Yeah. And so what I did, I explained how God has a female characteristics. I explained some stories of how Jesus dealt with women. And at the end, I said, do you want to be delivered from this past evil that has affected you? Do you want to accept and make that first commitment to say, I want to be delivered from these things of my past so that I can walk into a different future? And nearly all of the women stood up and just got prayed for. And there was tears of joy. There was tears of, you know, and just of wounds being healed. It was just a phenomenal occasion. But these women had been with my friend years, and we weren't the only ones who came in and just kept giving this message. You need to be set free from your past so you can live a better future. So the Israelites not only needed to be delivered from an oppressive ruler and a threat of violence, but also from living with a culture of scarce resources, little finance, inadequate or no living accommodation, struggling to get food on the table. This kind of deprivation affects every part of us as humans. We end up with this poverty mentality rather than enjoying God's provision and abundance in his kingdom. We're going to discover this week and next week, deliverance is more than a one-time rescue. It requires healing past wounds, hurts, and mindset. It requires replacing lies believed about yourself, God, and others. And we see how God does this further next week. See, deliverance also requires a complete reorientation of the way we think and behave. And to be honest with you, that starts with our hearts. I don't know about you, but my prayer is purify my heart, Lord, from the evil effects of the past. Bind up my broken heart, Isaiah 61. Do you know what I mean? Let your spirit just come and bind up my broken heart. Deliver me from the lies that Satan and the world have deceived me into believing about myself, about God and others. Can you see that deliverance is the way that God rescues us from the effects of evil? Yeah, that's what deliverance is. And I wonder, the Lord gradually, I mean, for years I've had deliverance ministry. I mean, like there's so much of my past, and I haven't had a particularly bad past. Do you know what I mean? There's so much of my past wounds and hurts. But he's so gracious. You know, you kind of think, you know the story. You know, I'm hitting 60. I'm going to look back and say, thank you. You'd got rid of that hurt, that past. Hopefully abusive bosses is now dealt with. Do you know what I mean? In other words, but he deals with each with you just gently and when you're ready. And so is there something today, like something this week that happened to me? Is there something today that the Lord's just highlighting, saying maybe, because you're overreacting or underacting in this situation, maybe there's something that you need healing from a wound of the past. Or maybe it's a fear or anxiety or insecurity. But when we deal with fears, the first thing, if you're dealing with deliverance ministry, is an anxiety, is you go to the doctor. I remember the first time that I had anxiety and depression, and it was because I had early onset menopause. Do you know what I mean? It was not a spiritual thing, it was a physical thing that I needed medication for. So the first thing is there a physical need? But then, Lord, what have you got? What have you got for me? Is there something in my past that is affecting me and I need deliverance from? And do you have any unforgiveness or bitterness from the past because of the effects of evil on you that you need to get rid of? God's perfect plan for you is to deliver you from the effects of evil on your life, freeing you to go places that you could not go without him, and freeing us as a congregation to go places we could never go before. Now, some of you know I'm a Trekkie. To boldly go, do you know what I mean, where no one has gone before. Can that be our testimony? Yeah. But we see in the story when we stopped it, remember we said, what was Moses' reaction and what was the people's reactions? This is the people's reactions from Exodus 14. The Israelites were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. When Satan has affected you, He skews your thinking. He brings in doubts about the goodness of God. He brings in doubts that the deliverance plan will work. He brings in doubts about his promises and his power. And when Satan has affected us, we live in fear of death or loss of control or fear of the future or not being or having what we might need to fight the enemy. And the classic response, of course, for most Christians, I think, is just blame the leader. Do you know, it's not my fault. Let's blame somebody else. And we can also feel insecure following God and would rather actually go back to what we knew before, serving Satan and Pharaoh. And finally, as Rihanna pointed out the other week, they'd rather be with the devil you know than stay with the leaders and the people who trust and follow God. Isn't it amazing, isn't it, how people, you know, rather than coming into God's presence and into God's people, we run away from them when we've got difficulties. But that's just because of past effects on our lives, yeah, that the Lord wants to deliver us from. But Moses, remember, he'd had already 40 years in the wilderness and learning to be a shepherd and the burning bush experience. So Moses' response is very different. Moses says, do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. And I find it really interesting, the next stage is move on. But I think it's be still in here so you can keep moving forward. You know, be still in here and know that I am God. And it's not the first time or only time, is it, that the Lord has written in there. I mean, you know, I think Ruth in your house group this week was showing you all the Psalms that are based on this story. Do you know what I mean? It is the Lord will fight for you. And so God's deliverance takes us from living under this oppressive Satan, under an oppressive Pharaoh, to living under or with a Moses who was a shepherd-like leader. Now, in a crisis, you need a different type of leadership. If you think about Moses' leadership up until now, it was dictating, wasn't it? You, get sorted, come. Yeah? Because you do that in a crisis. Do you know, if an earthquake's coming, we don't have a discussion about it. We just react and do what the leader tells us to do, yeah? But now that they have got rid of, yeah, the enemy, now he comes into his true leadership style, which is that of a shepherd. And under an oppressive Pharaoh, it's you work for the Pharaoh's good. You work for Satan's good. But under Moses, a shepherd leader, the people are now are working for their good and the good of others. Under an oppressive ruler, you are used and neglected, where under Moses, he partners with you and nurtures you. Under an oppressive ruler who is distant, remember, Pharaoh was in his place, but Moses, remember, he's with these people. He's hungry, thirsty, tired. I mean, David was like, yeah, but if they had a fire by night and a cloud by day, does that mean they walked all night? And yes, sometimes they did, it says. You know, no wonder they were ratty. They didn't have any sleep. But he was with them through this, you know, the oppressive, cold and hard, whereas Moses is relational. He's there with the people. He talks with them. The oppressor is a God or a guy or a Satan who demands and dictates, whereas Moses invites and guides. And the oppressor harms you, whereas Moses shows his care and love. The number of the times that the people complain and he just takes it to God. He loves them. He cares for them. He nurtures them. He stands in the gap for them. You see, Moses' shepherd-like leadership begins to reveal to the people that Yahweh, what Yahweh is like. And it's a foretaste, isn't it, of what Jesus is like as our good shepherd. You see, how we are loved and nurtured and how we love shapes our lives. And remember, this whole talk is about deliverance, recognizing what we need deliverance from, but also what deliverance looks like. And we know that scripture says that God's love casts out, that's deliverance language, isn't it? It casts out fear. And in 1 John 4:18 it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. You see, that's why deliverance ministry usually starts with what fears do we have? And you cast them out, and it's not, I mean, I've had some bad experience of deliverance, do you know what I mean? Don't get me wrong. But why are we thrown out in a bad experience in deliverance when there's some really, really good experience of deliverance, really good ministry and deliverance, which is literally by God's presence, by his love, by his healing, and by replacing lies with truth. That's what casting out looks like, because that's what scripture says. Yeah. So let's conclude. God's deliverance is about freeing us from our past to enable us to go places we could not go before. It's not a one-time rescue. It's an ongoing deliverance from the effects of evil through the healing of past wounds and hurts and lies we believe about ourselves, God, and others. And I think we need to be gracious and kind to ourselves and others, because it took 40 years for God to deliver his people into the promised land. 40 years, you will see, of testing them. Because when you're tested, it reveals what you fear, what evil effects still are on your life. It reveals your unhealthy mindsets. It reveals the lies that you believe about yourself or about God and others. But the first step in deliverance is saying yes to the rescue plan God ordained before the beginning of time. A plan to rescue and deliver you from the sins of your past and enable you to have a new life in God's kingdom of love, peace, justice, and joy. Do you know what I mean? If you've yet to actually say, yeah, I want to be delivered by God. I want my sins forgiven. I want to come into this kingdom we sing about and talk about. I want to know this God. Then today is your opportunity. But I don't know about you. I want to pray to God and thank him for what he's done and ask him to continue to deliver me.